to you, Bay Ragney here, and it's time for TDR Rocks. That's right, Totally Jim Radio Rocks, and that's exactly what we're going to do tonight, but a little acoustic style, a little gutter rock, a little sleaze rock, a little glam rock to the max, baby. That's right, with the Prophets of Addiction. The one and only Leslie Sanders, you might remember him. He played bass in Pretty Boy Floyd for like, I don't know, 8 years, 10 years. He's on his own now. Well, not on his own. He's got some buddies with him. They're called the Prophets of Addiction. They've been around, believe it or not, for 10 freaking years they've been doing this. They've been kicking around the rock and roll scene, all not only around the country, but they've been going around the world with this. And they got a third album out, and got to sit and talk with Leslie the other day. He really opened up about a lot. He's got something that's really going on in his personal life with his dad, who's sick. He really opened up about that. We talked about the new album called Nothing But the Truth. The reasoning why it's an acoustic album, and reasoning why the band is kind of going acoustic over the last few years. Plus, we talk about, situations with CeCe DeVille playing on an old record, and how Foo Sizan, who you might remember playing with Ozzy, now plays in The Last in Line. It became the guy who's mixing these amazing tracks of rock and roll that the guys are writing and putting out. And we talk about all this and much, much more. So without further ado, let's get into this. The one and only Mr. Leslie Sanders from Prophets of Addiction.
Leslie, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Damn, you're freaking early, dude.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what time I was supposed to call. I mean, I knew it was 11, but I didn't know if I could call. I didn't know what kind of interview it was.
we're taped, so you're good. Oh, okay. You beat me to the punch.
My dad's got cancer, and he's in a care center, so I'm trying to do this stuff in between. I got to drive him to appointments and all this stuff, so I'm trying to do this stuff.
Oh, correct. Yeah, Dave was telling me, man, I'm sorry to hear that, dude. That's such a fucked up situation, that whole cancer thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, over. Yeah. How you holding up?
Doing pretty good. I know. I just kind of had to put, like, all my touring and stuff like that on hold for the, meantime. That's all I've been doing for years, and figure this time I got to take care of this or I'm going to regret it,
Right. Yeah, it's crazy and sad. Like, I was just texting with my niece last night, as a matter of fact. Her husband's aunt just passed away, who had cancer. And she texted me late. She passed away the other day. And, I just shot her a text just to double check, see how they were making it and how they're holding up. And, she said, she's like, it kind of sucks, like family situations and people arguing and stuff like that. Like, they didn't talk for so many years, and like now they kind of regret it. And it's like, you just don't want that to happen. Times like this is really where, family truly does come first.
Yeah. And I was, many years ago, I moved away to LA. I was gone for like 18 years and I was just partying and doing stuff. I barely even talked to my parents or anything, I was just young and stupid and doing whatever. And I came back here a few years back, and I just been helping them. So it's kind of actually nice,
Yeah.
Still help them. Instead of calling them to send me money,
But rock and roll will do that to you, won't it?
Yeah.
which speaking of, so like... Being a fan of yours and your work over the years, the one thing I have always wondered, growing up, I was a huge fan, back in the day in the prime of like Pretty Boy Floyd. So like, what's it like when, years later you end up playing bass in like a band like that?
Oh, it was cool. At first they asked me for like one show, cause I was doing my own thing. They were like, hey, could you do this one show? I guess there was some kind of situation where I think it was Pretty Boy Floyd and Bang Tango and we're playing a show together, and Joe said to I think Chris was like, we're gonna blow you guys off the stage. I guess he got all set, and so next thing he's trying to put together some other guys in the band, and that's when he gave me a call. And I played that one show. First I was like, I don't know, I don't do this, but then it was fun and I just kept going for quite a few years after that.
Yeah, which I saw, it was just recently, it was like the anniversary of that the Pretty Boy Floyd live album you had played on.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They re-released that one, I guess. It's got a different picture on it, but it's the same thing.
It's too funny. So now, like, with Prophets of Addiction, which is kind of scary too. Like, you guys actually been around for like 10 years now.
Yeah, I think it was like almost 9 years, something like that. I think. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. So it's like the longest band I've ever had. But I don't know. It's just so different now. But when I look back on the bands I was in when I was young, it seems like such an important and crucial part of my life and stuff. And then when I do the math and think about, wow, that was really only 2 years, you know? We'd play all these shows, whatever it took, thought we were getting the big record deal, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, falls apart. And it seems like it was such a long period of my life. And I guess because I was young, it just seemed like it was a lot longer. Now it seems like you think back, I even being on tour with sometimes in the recent years, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I played that club and a few years back one time. And I think about it, like, holy shit, that was 1995. That's a long time ago.
Holy cow. Yeah, I mean, you're truly a person who's dedicated his life to the rock and roll business.
It's kind of all I have. I got to the point, the tipping point where I already kind of went down that road too far. I was like, well, I can't really stop now. I got nothing else going on. I got no house, got no payments, I got nothing. I might as well just keep living like this. I'm the kind of guy that up until now with my dad's situation, I'm the kind of guy that would have been on the road for 365 days a year and been just perfect with that. I'm not talking about in great conditions either. I'm talking about packed into a van, sleeping on people's couches. I'm fine with it.
Wow.
So I never understand when the people in the tour buses and the hotels and they've packed sold out shows and they're making a bunch of money say, I don't like touring. I can't comprehend it at all.
Does it scare you though? I mean, because like you said, you're used to like doing all this and it's like, and back in the day it was like, yeah, trying to get that big record deal and there's no more big record deals or nothing anymore. So it's like truly grind to survive. Does it scare you as we get older?
I don't know. I just try not to really think about it. It's like, well, what do I do now? I just keep going. And luckily, I just kind of get by, and that's what I do. I try to do the music and do some other stuff to make some money and try to sell some songs or get some radio plays, just different things.
Now the name Prophets of Addiction is truly one of my favorite all-time band names because it's something that, it's personal to you, this person who's struggled with addiction through his life, and just the name itself, it's such a deep meaning, like a true life, I related to like a Motley Crue. Like Motley Crue perfectly described them, and Prophets of Addiction perfectly describes you,
Mm-hmm. And I think addiction further, obviously the first thing anybody ever thinks of addiction is obviously like drugs or alcohol or whatever, but I mean, it can be anything that takes you away from your goals in life. It could be the dad that doesn't spend enough time with his kid because he's addicted to working on his garage, on his car all night till 4 a.m. Sure. or something, I mean, it could be anything that takes you away from really what's more important in life, I suppose.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. And it's scary because there really is so many, like you said, there's so many addictions out there and probably most people don't realize it, but they have an addiction to something and it doesn't necessarily have to be drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, it doesn't have to completely destroy your life to be an addiction, necessarily. I mean, I suppose you can be addicted to some things that people would consider it a good thing in some ways, but, like, that guy's addicted, that guy works 90 hours a week. Well, I mean, that's kind of like going overboard, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because let's face it, he's probably only getting paid for 40.
Right. Yeah.
So something I didn't realize too is CC DeVille had made a deal with you on a past album to play on one of your albums.
He said one time to me, I kept asking him, he was talking about doing some other music one day. It never really came back to that's the fact, But one day he said, "You stay sober and we'll play together someday." He said something like that, and And so when I called him up, he knew it'd been sober for a long time. And when I called him up and asked him about playing, he's like, "Of course I will." You know, that's basically what happened with that. I mean, I never brought up like, "Hey, remember when you said you would do this?" And, and he never said, "I'm doing this because you said that, because I said this to you." But that's just kind of how it went down.
Now, how about Phil Cezanne, who has been involved with you pretty much through the whole Prophets recording process, like doing the
mixing? Yeah, even before that. I did a recording with him before that. I just been friends with Phil from years from Hollywood, and somehow we hit it off, and, you know, I always respected what he did, and then we became friends, and it was strange because one day I was like, "Hey, Phil, what are you doing on Saturday?" He's like, "Well, that's my birthday." I'm like, "Well, that's why I was asking you, because that's my birthday too." So besides that, we had to, I mean, he's a little bit older than me, but we had the same June 23rd, both our birthdays. So,
oh, that's awesome.
That was just another little added thing that was funny.
So now, with the latest album being full acoustic, Nothing But the Truth, the one thing like I initially wondered is going the acoustic route with this album, and I know the last couple of years that's how you've been touring too, is you and Glenn doing acoustic or you solo acoustic. Is it almost kind of like it's just a whole lot easier now? Because I remember I interviewed Mike Tramp a couple of years ago, and he was saying, like, you know, I really don't need or want to do the full electric band because I can just rent a car, put my acoustic guitar in the back seat, and drive around the country, and it's a lot easier. I don't have to depend on nobody. I can just do my thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, of course, I'll always think that having a really good rock band and being loud and playing is going to be the coolest, but that definitely is for sure. I've also found that seems like it's a lot nowadays because people don't go out every single night of the week and everything like it used to do. That you can, there's a lot of places that will pay you or have you, and you can pretty much play anywhere, play acoustic, as long as they got two speakers. You know, it doesn't have to be some big PA system or anything. You can be in some little corner in some bar. You know, they don't need a big stage. And so you can go around, and a lot of those places, you know, they don't charge the cover charge. So they just say, "Here's, we can pay you this much money, and you come and play." You know, we just roll with our acoustic guitars, a bag of merchandise, and, you know, whatever clothes we might change it to or something. And as far as easy, yeah, it's a million times easier. You don't have to deal with all the other people. It's easy to find, way easier to find people's house. By this time, touring so long, I got so many people that have been so nice to let us stay at their places and stuff. Every time we come through town, they're like, "Yeah, go ahead, come on, you know, go ahead and stay at our place." Or they'll just ask, "Hey, what time are you guys going to be here?" You know, and all that. And, yeah, I agree with what Mike Tramp said for sure. And we can go in a car. We don't need a van and a trailer or whatever else.
Right. I didn't even know.
At the end of the day, you get paid more to do the full band, but you got more people, you got more expenses, you got more. So even just when it comes down financially, you can get done with the acoustic tour. Seems like you can come out much farther ahead usually.
Right, right. And I didn't even think of it too from a booking standpoint. It's probably a lot easier to book yourself acoustically than it is with a full band.
I've handled all the booking in these several years. So, I mean, I've done good bookings with the full band. I've done good bookings with acoustic. But like I mentioned, it just seems like now, as each year passes, more and more clubs are closing down. You know, even ones that have been there for years and years and years, they're closing down. These acoustic places will just be, a lot of times, some places you never even expect. They, you know, like I said, they'll move some tables down the corner sometimes and you just play right there.
Awesome.
Of course, when I was younger, I never thought I would do that. I'd be like, "What? There's no stage? What? You know, look at there's two speakers on those stands." You know, I'd be like, "What is this?" And you know, I've never played it. I thought acoustic was the worst thing ever. I never wanted to play acoustic guitar.
You know what though, like, I kind of feel the same way, like from a musical standpoint, for being a fan of, like, you know, the rock and roll and electric and all that. But
yeah.
I have so much more respect for a person that's just going to get up there with an acoustic guitar, because you know, being like a quote unquote former, I'm not even going to say musician, but a guitar player, sloppy, just horrible guitarist. Like I was able to hide behind a distortion.
Right.
So acoustically, like I just could never picture myself doing anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that great on acoustic either because I'm really a bass player, so I'm all heavy-handed, strumming all hard. It's all crazy. But I guess the point comes across.
Now, the whole actually acoustic thing happened kind of like from your drummer getting sick, though, right?
Well, what happened is we had gotten a new drummer, a really, really good drummer, a guy named Wayne, and we started working on some new songs. We did some demos. We even kind of released one of the demos because we were getting ready to do a tour. And while we were recording, he was kind of sick. And while we were writing some songs, he was kind of sick and just thought, you know, he had a flu or something like that. But it kept getting worse and worse. And then he went to the doctor. Long story short, it ended up being something major. He started to lose his vision. All this, he had MS. And so he was hoping to build himself back up. So we kind of just said, well, we're not going to find another drummer. We did do one leg of the tour that was booked. We did that acoustic with Glenn and I. We just changed the shows. Most of the promoters were perfectly fine with that. And then the next tour, we got another guy, and he played the drums. So our plan was to get back with Wayne, and things kept getting worse. He's getting better now. I just don't know if he can get to the point where he can, you know, do what he needs to do to be able to tour and all that stuff. But so anyways, in the meantime, we just said, well, let's just do a cool acoustic record while we're waiting for him. That's what Glenn and I decided, and then that's what we did.
Was it kind of like, let's face it, you could have probably found another drummer. Was it almost kind of like, I mean, it's like a real devotion to him. Like, I was thinking to myself, it was like almost like a Def Leppard Rick Allen situation where they could have replaced him when he left his arm, but.
Yeah, definitely not on that level, but it was kind of like, well, yeah, let's just, you know, we wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, and he's going to, you know, he was going to get better. He thought he was, and. You know, and then we even scheduled some other things. We even scheduled some more to write and start recording again. And then, you know, he had some other setbacks, and we just kept waiting. And I guess we'll have to figure out what to do next. If, you know, at one point we would have to get to the point and say, well, I guess he's not going to be able to do this. It's, you know, if we get to that point, then that's the decision we'll make with him, and we can go from there. But we wanted to just not right away just say, well, he can't make this tour, screw him, let's get someone else and we'll find some other guy to work on new recording. You know, it was really sounding good with what we had been working on with him, and it was you know, the drums, everything was sounding like the way that I thought it should sound, you know, with the right feel and everything. So we wanted to just wait, but anyways, we did acoustic, and let's see what happens with that.
With the album Nothing But the Truth, you produced it. Why did you decide to take the reins with that?
I don't know. It's more like just kind of sit there like, let's try this part, let's do this, let's do that, let's just try to get this sound. And then, you know, the guy that was engineering it, of course he helped with that too, and we might be like, oh, let's just change that a little bit, and, you know, I don't know.
It just happened.
Yeah, it just kind of happens. I don't know. It seems like it's weird to call it. It's weird to call it, to me, to call it producing, really, because it's kind of like you're just kind of doing what you normally do. Like, if it's what you normally do in your normal life, like, if you're going to go out and landscape your yard, for example, and you got this vision of it, you don't sit there and go, well, I produced that yard. You know, it's kind of like, oh, who did that yard? Oh, I did. Oh, how'd you think about doing that? I don't know. I just thought it looked cool. it's not like I say, or with, you know, planning it, mapping it all out or anything.
Now how about something too? I know that you really kind of take pride in doing is really expressing yourself lyrically. Are you the type of person like who's always like writing lyrics, like going around with like a notebook or something?
No, it's funny because whenever I try to do that, I can never come up with them. Most of the time when I have lyrics, I'm just strumming an acoustic guitar and the words just start coming out of my mouth. And then there's been plenty of songs that I've written the whole lyric without ever touching a piece of paper and pen, like written the whole song.
Holy cow.
And then, you know, then a lot of times, the second verse, I have to go back and try to figure out what to write. But as far as the first verse and the chorus, there's been lots of times when this just kind of came out. The first thing I start strumming, or I'll kind of work on it a little bit. But, you know, I might just put the, usually it's always like I just start strumming the guitar or whatever and just kind of start rambling off any old lyric that comes to my head, kind of just making up stuff. And then, you know, as I work on how it's going to go, and then I kind of come up with the real lyrics. And then sometimes, of course, I have to go back and work on them and figure out what I want. But yeah, there's been plenty. There's been some songs, and the whole song has been, like, basically one take. I just started strumming, whoa, that's cool. And then that's when I race across, try to get something to record it or something, just so I don't forget.
Yeah, I would forget instantly. Now, how about, do you ever think to yourself, like, maybe with the lyrics you get too deep or too personal with things?
Well, probably. I mean, probably if you're trying to write, you know, like, some regular song, I suppose. If you're trying to write for, like, a songwriter to sell songs to people, probably, but you want it just to be real generic and normal, then probably so, yeah, but I don't know. I suppose I don't really ever think about it, so I don't know, maybe. Maybe.
Now, with the songs on the new album, can you picture any of them being plugged in electric, or do you think they're just strictly?
Well, there is actually some of them are already.
Okay.
So some of those songs are songs off the first record. Some of them are songs off the second record. Some of them are a little reworked and redone differently. And then there's a few that are brand new ones that we wrote just prior to that record. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them are songs that we done.
Okay.
So they are full rock songs.
Nice. So with things pretty much on hold, are you like continuing like writing now, or just kind of letting things breathe?
Yeah, kind of messing around. We're supposed to start working on some new rock songs soon here. And figure out what's going on, you know, the drum situation and all that. But I've been working on stuff. I grab the acoustic like every night and just start kind of strumming some ideas and things. I just haven't had a lot of time recently to do all that or been in the mood for it, I suppose. But yeah, I'm always kind of messing with little ideas.
Has the situation going on with your dad like inspired any songs or?
I don't think it has yet. It hasn't got to that point. I imagine, you know, he has cancer, so I imagine ultimately, you know, he won't be around forever. So I'm sure when that happens, that'll be when it really, you know, hits hard, and that's probably when it will, you know, be more
right.
Apt to do something like that. Right now, I'm kind of like in denial, I suppose, what's really going on, but.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, sometimes it gets worse, sometimes it gets better. You think it's like almost the end, and all of a sudden he pulls through again. He's better. You think he's going to be coming back, and then something else will happen.
Right.
And kind of one thing after another.
Now, something too, you guys do, which makes me very proud, and I say this to whatever bands I interview, and they utilize this, especially indie bands like yourself, is the world of YouTube and videos, because it.
Yeah.
Drives me insane when people don't, because you have it at your fingertips and you guys put together some really freaking cool videos.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're trying to do more.
Do you guys do them yourself or?
Yeah, we had a guy that was helping us do those, but I think we're going to have to do something different. I think he said something like he got some other stuff going on. He can't do them anymore right now or something. I don't know.
There'll be somebody else out there to help do videos for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So, all right. So, where should we send everybody to get the new album, the past albums, up to date with you guys?
The new record, you can get that from the website at High Volume Music or off the Prophets of Addiction website, which is prophetsofaddiction.com. The past records, they're all on the website. Or on the internet, you know, different places for sale. I don't know, Amazon, all those places like that. I'm not sure. I never really look since I'm not buying them. but I see them up there sometimes, you know, different places, towerrecordsjapan.com. I don't know.
Get them. They're out there. Just Google it.
Yeah, it's easy these days to find anything.
Cool. Well, Leslie, this was great talking to you, man. And
yeah, you too. Thank you.
Works out with your dad, and you know, we'll be keep plugging away here for you with the profits and you and everything else.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Just thinking back to those days we had it all. So it seemed we were the ones you wanted to be. We were the ones you wanted to be. Just looking back. Seasons will change, but I'll stay the same. Gonna rearrange the American dream. While the man on the moon above just chills as he rides my way. Just looking back on a way money can't buy. You and me, we were the ones you wanted to see. We were the ones you wanted to see. Just thinking back. Seasons will change, but I'll stay the same. Gonna rearrange the American dream. While the man on the moon above just chills as he lights my way. Seasons will change, but I'll stay the same. Gonna rearrange the American dream. While the man on the moon above just chills as he lights my way.
There he goes, Leslie Sanders, Prophets of Addiction and American Dreams, because we all got them, right? You got those dreams, don't you? Keep them. Don't lose them. Keep them going. And you can check them out. Just, you know, use that beautiful thing called Google, Prophets of Addiction. The album is out there. It's all over the place. You can stream it. You can buy it. You can get physical copies. You can do it any way you want. Just do it. That's the bottom line. You just got to do it and get it. So thanks to Leslie, thanks to our buddy Dave Tedder for getting it all hooked up, and remember, Prophets of Addiction. So again, my name is Bay Ragney, Tony Jim Radio Rocks. Look for us, like us, love us, follow us all over the world of social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or look for us in these podcasting outlets like Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. And I think there's a few more I might be forgetting. Tune in. But anyway, go to all those and like us, love us, follow us. Do what you got to do. But the bottom line at the end of the day, keep those American dreams and stay driven. See you, everybody.